1 Corinthians chapter 6, from verse 9 to verse 11. To my mind, this is one of the most magnificent paragraphs in the Bible. In many senses, this is true. If you want a passage which speaks of the nature of conversion and the power of God to convert sinners, the wonder working power of God in the gospel, I don't know where you can go to get better than this. Clearer statement. I hope I can do, well, I can't do it justice, but I hope I can do something to set out the glories and the wonders of this tremendous statement. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. The wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God, says Paul. Don't be deceived. The wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. Get this firmly fixed in your mind. Understand it. The wicked will never, never enter the kingdom of God. According to Christ, John chapter 3, the unregenerate, the wicked, will never even see the kingdom of God. They will never enter it. They will never comprehend it. What do you mean by wicked, Paul? John 3, the unregenerate, manifesting itself in wickedness. The root problem of wicked is unregeneracy, dead in trespasses and sins. And all men are dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. But that unregeneracy, that wickedness, manifests itself in all sorts of ways. Now, Paul obviously majors on this particular forms of wickedness at Corinth. Now, Corinth is become down in history a notorious word. The Corinthian, well, a dissolute man. Actually, the description is here. So he obviously picks on the issues which are current and relevant at Corinth. And in so doing, my friend, he could be talking about the United Kingdom in the year 2014 while I'm now speaking this. As far as I know, America too, he could say the same there. I'm not so familiar with Canada, but Canada, the Western world, indeed throughout the world. These are the kinds of marks of wickedness we see today. They were rampant in Greek society. Sexual immorality, idolatry, adultery, male prostitution, homosexuality, thieving, greed, drunkenness, slandering, swindling. This is what he says. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's what I mean by wicked. But he could broaden it if you want to. The atheistical, the religious, the decent, the moral, the upright, the self-righteous, the proud, all outside of Christ, all the unregenerate. Any man, any woman outside of Christ, unregenerate, is in God's terms wicked. It manifests itself in all forms. Here, immorality, homosexuality, prostitution, thieving, gluttony, pride, boasting, bragging, whatever it might be. The emphasis upon the here and now, upon the flesh, upon self, upon power, upon money, upon this, that, and the other, but outside of, away from, hating God, thinking God and His Word, His Christ and His Gospel, are utter foolishness. And Paul is explicit. Such people, outside of Christ, unregenerate, as Christ said, will not see the kingdom of God, will not enter the kingdom of God, will be damned forever. Not because of their drunkenness or immorality merely, but because they are dead in their sins and unregenerate. Their wickedness is a manifestation of their wicked condition, state, standing before God. Then Paul gets personal. And that is what some of you were. Gross, open, wicked, sinful, in your immorality, greed, prostitution, or whatever. But of course, all unbelievers are dead in sins. We can major on the open, gross evidences of wickedness, but pride, greed, gluttony, lust, the inward sins, they are also equally offensive to God. Because, as Christ said to Nicodemus, unless you're born of God, you'll never see the kingdom. Flesh is flesh, whatever you do with it. You can sprinkle it, you can burn it, you can make it go to chapel, you can make it read the Bible, you can do whatever, you can do what you like to it. But flesh is flesh. And unless a man is born again, he will never be saved. And you were unregenerate. And you were these gross, open sinners, at least some of you were. And then the most glorious text I can think of. But, in the light of this, the most glorious text you could wish for. But, what a word. Three little letters in English. But what power is caught up in this word. But, you were, know the past tense, washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. John 3, you must be born again. The Spirit came upon you, says Paul, and you were born again. You were sanctified. You were separated from the pagans. You were drawn out from this carnality. You left this idolatry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You came out. You forsook your idolatry. You gave up your homosexuality. You gave up your prostitution. That didn't save you. You gave it up because you were regenerate by God's Spirit. And you were washed in the blood of Christ. That's why you gave up these manifestations. You didn't give these things up in order to be saved. You gave them up because you were converted, and your conversion showed it in the new creation that you are. 2 Corinthians 5. Any man in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's not the newness of the things that he does, his works, that makes him a Christian. It proves he's a Christian. It doesn't make him right with God. It proves he's right with God. What makes him right with God is the Trinitarian work of God. The kingdom of God. The work of the Spirit of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You were washed in the blood of Christ. You were sanctified, drawn out, separated. Remember, he opened his letter about this. Sanctified in Christ Jesus by the Spirit of our God, regenerated. You were justified. What does that mean? It means acquitted of all sin. It means accounted righteous in God's sight. By one act of obedience, he has made righteous forever those who are in him. Romans 5:19. No condemnation, Romans 8:1. Hebrews 10, by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, and you were regenerated. And of course, although he doesn't say it here, you came to trust Christ in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or what it means, the person, the work, and the merits of Christ. How did Paul get this? Did he preach the law? He certainly did not. Did he preach morality? No, he did not. I am determined to know nothing among you, he's already told them, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? Because Christ is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. What a tremendous passage. How relevant to my country today. Men and women of England, listen. You were wicked. You will perish. But God in the gospel offers you salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You must be born again. You must be washed from your sins. And you can go to chapel or church. You can sprinkle yourself with water. You can do what you will. That won't wash you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will wash you from every sin. You have to be justified, made right with God. You can't do that yourself. It is simply trusting Christ and relying upon his righteousness, upon his death, upon his person, work, and merits. Christ is all. I say this to the Americans. I say this to the Canadians. I say it to South Americans. I say it everywhere in the world who will listen to me. Whoever you are outside of Christ, however decent and moral you may be, Islamic man, Islamic woman, Romanist, atheist, whoever you might be, humanist, whatever, I say to you, outside of Christ, you are wicked. Come to Christ and this glorious text. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. This glorious text will be yours. And such for some of you, whatever it might be, far off from God, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. A one great eternal act, never to be rescinded. And it will manifest itself, of course, in the change in life. But that's not what we're talking about here. It's the glorious transaction that was done in conversion. This is what conversion is. It's not a process gradually coming better and better. It's the sovereign act of God passing from death to life, passing from wickedness to righteousness, passing out of Satan's realm and dominion into Christ, out of Adam into Christ, far off, brought near, dead, alive, sinful, holy. This is what conversion is. The Trinitarian work of God. The work of grace. The work of power. That's why I preach the gospel. Brothers and sisters, all of us who are believers are preachers. Preach Christ. Don't preach law. Don't preach rites and ceremonies. And never use that horrible word sacraments. Don't preach ordinances. Preach Christ. Don't preach church. Don't preach confessions. Don't preach theology. Preach Christ. Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Preach the necessity of regeneration, redemption by Christ, and the glorious resurrection to come will be all who hear, believe, and are saved. Sinner, there is hope for you. Do you feel you're hopeless? And far gone, too far gone. There are some, perhaps, who feel they're too far off from God. Rubbish. God delights to save the worst of sinners. He gets more glory by it. His grace is sufficient for the worst of sinners. You can only be dead. The manifestation of it, in a sense, is irrelevant. It's the deadness which counts. And God can raise the dead. He does it again and again. May he do it even now by the preaching of the cross, as I preach him in this way now, in this short discourse. Believer, go on holding Christ before men. Stated preachers. Stop preaching theology and confessions. Preach Christ. What a wonderful text. This is what some of you were, far off from God. You were all dead in sins. You were the most wicked of people. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. May God arise and do it again and again, even through this short discourse. May he use these words long into the future, even for the glory of his name and the saving of sinners. Amen.